فإن خير الكلام كلام الله جل وعلا، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، Indeed, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek for His help and His forgiveness, and we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil within our own selves and from the mischief of our own deeds. As for those who are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one that can misguide them. And as for those who are left to be misguided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one that can guide them. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and a messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. To proceed, indeed the most truthful of all speeches is the speech of Allah, Al-Quran, which is not created. And the best of all guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all the affairs are those newly invented matters to the deen of Al-Islam. For indeed, every newly invented matter to this deen of Al-Islam is an act of innovation, and every innovation is a misguidance, and therefore in the hellfire. نَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ أَنْ هَيَّأَ لَنَا مِثْلَ هَذَا اللِّقَاءِ الطَّيِّبِ لنواصل مع أحبة لنا في الله. هذه الدروس، دروس الجمعة من كتاب إرشاد الساري، شرح السنة للإمام البربهاري لفضيلة الشيخ أحمد بن يحيى النجمي. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again, as we should do more often, but precisely tonight, for allowing us once again to meet with our beloved brothers so that we continue gaining benefit and benefits from the book Irshad al-Sari, which is the explanation of the creed explained by His Eminent Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. وإنها لنعمة كبيرة أن نجتمع في بيت من بيوت الله نتدارس فيه دين الله سبحانه وتعالى. And indeed it is a great ni'mah. It is a great bounty for the fact that we gather in the house of Allah سبحانه وتعالى to study the affairs of our deen, matters that will help us in this life and in the hereafter. الحياة السعيدة في الدنيا والآخرة لا تكون إلا بطلب العلم الشرعي، العلم النافع المقرون بالعمل الصالح مع الإخلاص ومع المتابعة. A happy life will never be achieved whether in this life or in the hereafter except by and through gaining beneficial knowledge of the deen of Islam. Yet beneficial knowledge that is coupled with righteous actions, which in another way involves sincerity. Sincerity in the actions and following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the previous class, the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى was explaining about the attributes of Allah, صفات الله, in the light of the ayah in Surah Ash-Shura. What ayah is that? Huh? No. One at a time. من? أنت محمد? تفضل. لا محمد. بصير. البصير. Now, in the ayah 11 in Surah Ash-Shura, When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like unto Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And the Shaykh حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, he explains a point of aqidah from the points of aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Which Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they affirm, the first thing we should remember from the previous class, that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when it comes to the names and the attributes of Allah, they affirm for Allah that which He affirmed for Himself in His book, or that which He affirmed for Himself on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the safest way. This is the correct way, the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when it comes to the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this qa'id, this principle. We affirm to Allah what He Himself affirmed for Himself in the Quran or on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And without asking how or why and the like, we affirm to Allah what He affirmed for Himself. That's one thing. The second thing that we dealt with and the Shaykh dealt with is that the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are specific for His Majesty. They do not resemble any of the attributes of His creation. That's not the principle. That Allah's attributes, the lofty and sublime attributes of Allah, do not, period, resemble any of the attributes of His creation. That's another principle. Even though that the names of those attributes may be the same, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh bring an example, is Al-Hayy. He is the ever-living, but He also mentioned the human beings to be living. They live too. So Allah's life against the creation life, it is not the same. Even the names, they are the same, life, but the life of the human being, the life of any creation, has nothing to do with the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the hands. No. Likewise, the hands. Allah affirmed for Himself a hand. The human being have a hand. But that does not mean that the hand of Allah resembles the hand of the creation. And the Shaykh, he refuted those people who they deny. That's why some groups, they deny Allah's attributes. Because they said, if we affirm for Him attributes such as hand and the light, so therefore, and wajh, face and the light, so therefore we're going to liken and resemble Allah to the creation because they have hands as well. You remember the example that Shaykh has brought? He said, so we say to those people, dogs have hands, or have face. Pigs and monkeys have faces, right? So that means that the human beings are pigs and monkeys too? It's not the case. So you got to understand that there is a big difference between this, but the safest way is to be upon the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not only in this point of and this bab and chapter of the names and the attributes, but period. In the whole of the deen, if you want to be on the correct path, which is one path, no two, no three, At-tariq wahid, At-tariq al-mosil ila Allah wahid, the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah is one. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah said, this is my path, one, not two paths. Allah said, this is my path, then follow this path which is straight, follow it. قَالَ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلُ فَتَفَرَّقَتْكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. He said, and do not follow the many other paths, they will certainly take you away further away from His path. قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى أفرد الصراط لأنه واحد لا يتعدى. ولكن ذكر سبل بالجمع لأنها كثيرة، طرق الضلالة والغواية كثيرة. ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى said in this ayah of Surah Al-An'am Allah, so therefore he could never be divided and split to other paths. There's only one. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim, that tell you clearly that the path of the truth is one. Nay, not even two of them. It's only one. And in the same ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that the paths of deviance, of deviation and misguidance are being many. He said, that tell you that there are many ways that cause the people to go astray. As for the haqq is one. We continue inshaAllah ta'ala. As for the statements, in the same point number what? 15? 15? Point 15, we finish that point 15 inshaAllah ta'ala tonight. Al-Imam al-Barbahari rahimahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَمُ اللَّهِ وَتَنْزِيلُهُ وَنُورُهُ وَلَيْسَ مَخْلُوقًا لِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ. The translation of this says, the Quran is the speech of Allah. That's why we start. This is the statement of Imam Barbahari. And then we bring the explanation of Shaykh al-Najmi. Imam al-Barbahari in his book, The Creed, the explanation of the Creed, he said, the Quran is the speech of Allah, His revelation and light. So three things here he mentioned. The Quran is the speech of Allah, His revelation and lights. It is not created. It is not created, meaning the Quran. Since the Quran is from Allah. Since the Quran is from Allah. And that which is from Allah is not created. And that which is from Allah is not created. And in the end of the statement of Al-Imam Al-Barbahari, he said, this was what Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah and Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah and the scholars before and after them said, and debating about this is a disbelief. Walayyadu billah. In the explanation, Shaykh al-Nazmi said, أي أن القرآن كلام الله وكلام الله صفة من صفاته. He said, this statement of Al-Barbahari means that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. The Qur'an that you and me will recite in the Mus'haf. In a Mus'haf that starts with Al-Fatiha and ends with An-Nas. That's the Mus'haf. That what contains Qur'an, that's we me and you will recite. So the Qur'an is kalam, kalamullah, the speech of Allah. Shaykh al-Najmi said, and the speech of Allah is an attribute from His attributes. The speech of Allah is an attribute from Allah's attributes. وَصِفَاتُهُ تَعَالَى لَيْسَتْ بِمَخْلُوقَ. He said, and the attributes of Allah are not created. And the attributes of Allah are not created. قال فمن زعم أن القرآن مخلوق فقد كفر. هكذا قرر السلف رحمه الله تعالى. He says, therefore he who claims that Quran is created, he has fallen into disbelief. He has fallen into disbelief. He said, this is what it was established by the Salaf, rahimahumullah. This is what is established by the Salaf, rahimahumullah. What is the proof? What is the dalil? Now, this is Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, ma yatakallamuna min ahwa'ihim. Ka Ahlil Bid'ah wa Ahlil Ahwa'. Summu Ahlil Ahwa' li'annahum yattabi'una ahwa'ahum. The people of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they do not speak out of their desires.
They speak from the Sunnah, from the text. That's why they call Ahlul Sunnah, because they follow the text of the Quran and the text of the Sunnah. As the people of innovation and the people of desires, why they were called the people of desires? Because they follow their desires. So now, since we're bringing to you the statements of Ahlul Sunnah, what is the Dalil? Here is the Dalil. The Shaykh said, وَأَمَّا الدَّلِيلُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ فَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي سُورَةِ النِّسَاءِ وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. He said, as for Dalil, here is the Ayah 164 of Surah An-Nisa, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that which means in English, and to Musa, Moses, and to Musa Allah spoke directly. And to Musa Allah spoke directly. وَقَوْلِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ وَقَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ كَمَا فِي سُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَفَعَ بَعْدَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. Another example and a dalil and a proof, actually a proof, is the ayah 253 of Surah Al-Baqarah, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and I read to you the translation in English as found in the Noble Quran, those messengers, we prefer some of them to others. To some of them, Allah spoke directly. To some of them, Allah spoke directly. Others, He rised to degrees of honor. وَكَذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى فِي سُورَةِ التَّوْبَةِ وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ إِشْ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. كَلَام, speech. In Surah At-Tawbah, verse 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and once again I read to you the translation, bring to you the translation as found in the Noble Quran, if any one of the mushrikeen, the polytheists, seeks your protection, then grant him protection so that he may hear the word of Allah. The word of Allah. So then the Shaykh, after he presents this adilla, these proofs, that the Quran is kalamullah, is the word of Allah, is the speech of Allah, he said, فَالْكَلَامُ صِفَةٌ مِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ. Therefore, kalam, speech, is an attribute from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقَدْ قَرَّرَ السَّلَفْ أَنَّ الْكَلَامَ صِفَةٌ مِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ قَدِيمَ النَّوْعِ حَادِثَ الْآحَادِ. He said that the Salaf, they established that the speech is an attribute from the attributes of Allah. قَدِيمَ النَّوْعِ حَادِثَ الْآحَادِ. And the Shaykh later on, he's going to explain these two statements here, which is قَدِيمَ النَّوْعِ and حَادِثَ الْآحَادِ. Be patient with me, inshallah ta'ala. He said, as for Qadim al-Nawr, now the Shaykh is going to explain what is this word Qadim al-Nawr. يعني أن صفة الكلام صفة لله قديمة بقدمه. Because this word Qadim al-Nawr, literally now, just in the language, is the Arabic language, is composed of two words, qadim, which is old or ancient,
ancient. Maybe it's better than old. And Nawr is type, meaning it is the type that is ancient.
So the Shaykh said, يعني أن صفة الكلام صفة لله قديمة بقدمه.
He said, meaning that this attribute of speech is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is as ancient as that was related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is relative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ويتكلم متى شاء وبما شاء من الأوامر التي يرسل الله عز وجل بها ملائكته من إحداث ما يريد.
He said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks whenever He wish, whenever He will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks whenever He wills. And He speaks with whatever He wants to speak about. From commandments that He will send His angels with to bring about certain things, to bring about whatever Allah wants to bring about. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl, in the ayah 40, إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ إِذَا أَرَدْنَاهُ أَن نَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ.
The translation of this, it says, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring something to life, He will say to it, be, and it is. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intend for something to happen, then He say to it, what? Be, and it is. Kun fayakun. Be, and it is.
وفي حديث عبادة بن الصامت, and in the narration of عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله, وأن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله, وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه, والجنة حق والنار حق, أدخله الله الجنة على ما كان من العمل. خرجه الإمام البخاري رحمه الله في كتاب أحاديث الأنبياء باب قول الله تعالى لا تغلوا في دينكم الآية, ورواه الإمام مسلم رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب الإيمان باب الدليل على أن من مات على التوحيد دخل الجنة قطعا.
So this narration that is agreed upon by الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم رحمهما الله وجزاهم الله على الإسلام والمسلمين خيرا.
May Allah have mercy upon them and reward them the greatest of all reward for what that which they serve Islam and the Sunnah, and for that which they left for us.
The Prophet ﷺ said, he who bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone with no partners, and that Muhammad is his servant and a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Isa, Jesus, is Allah's servant and a messenger, and His word, Allah's word, He sent upon Maryam, and He's a ruh from Allah, and He bear witness that the Jannah, paradise, is true, likewise the fire is true, Allah will enter him the Jannah with whatever deeds he have with him.
Alayka salam.
Allah will enter him the Jannah with whatever deed he have or she has with him.
قال والشاهد من قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في عيسى وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه.
He said the point of reference taken from this narration here is the fact that Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and عيسى عليه السلام is كلمة, is the word of Allah سبحانه وتعالى that he sent upon Maryam, and is a ruh from Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول, أن الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة آل عمران آية 59, إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال له كن فيكون.
He said the likeness And the example of Isa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the example of Adam. Allah created him from dust and he said to him, be, and he was. The Shaykh al-Najmi said, في هذه الآيات إثبات الكلام لله عز وجل وأنه قديم النوع حادث الآحاد. He said, in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed for himself speech. And that is ancient. His speech is ancient. And also it is hadith al-ahad. What is hadith al-ahad? Is another word that composed with two words. Hadith al-ahad. قال فلأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يحدث أحاده ما تشاء. He said that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings about His ahad whenever He wants. And what is the ahad? See how it's like chain. Al-ahad هو الكلام في الأمور التي يريدها الله. He said the ahad is the speech pertaining to the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for them to happen. That's the ahad. ويأمر بها ملائكته من إحياء وإماتة وصحة وسقم وعز وذل وغنى وفقر وإكرام وإهانة إلى غير ذلك. هذا لا يخفى. He said, and this commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen and take place. He gave his commands to the angels to carry on his commands, whether by bringing things to life or causing others to die or making certain people healthy while others become sick. Some people they become honorable, some they be humiliated, some people are poor while others are rich, some people are they live in honor state while others they live in humiliation and the like. And this is well known. قال والله يحدث كلامه عند الحاجة إليه. He said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, as for the recent revelations, that's what he means, the recent revelations, it will take place as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, as He wishes. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayah number 2, ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون. إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون. The translation of this verse, as in the Noble Quran says, comes not unto them an admonition. This chapter of the Quran, from their Lord, as a recent revelation, as a recent revelation, but they listen to it while they play. But they listen to it while they play. وقال تعالى في سورة الفرقان آية 33 ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. And no example or similitude do they bring, but they bring to you as reference to this Quran, to challenge the Quran, but we reveal to you the truth and the better explanation thereof. And the better explanation thereof. قال الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى الشيخ أحمد النجمي وبهذا نعلم خطأ من يقول أن الله خلق الكلام في الشجرة التي كلم الله موسى منها فزعمهم هذا زعم باطل. He says, so therefore based on this, we will know the mistake, the error, and the mistake of those who they say that Allah created His speech in a tree that Allah has spoken to Musa from. You familiar with this? Huh? What is it? The burning bush. Bush or bush? The burning bush or bush?
bush, bush, the burning bush, the bush, like tree, little tree, a tree. That's what it is. Okay. I just want to make sure that my English is right. Correct me if I... Okay, the burning bush. B-U-S-H. Same stuff. Same material, I don't know. Wood and wood. That's the wood. A tree, is a tree. طيب. So these people believe in a burning bush. What you can tell me about it?
This audio file has been recorded and distributed by salafitapes.com.
They say, who they say? Okay, what they say? Musa. They say that Musa himself went on top of this mount. The bush spoke to him. And that was mashallah. So the Shaykh said anyway, from this Adillah, you will know the error and the mistake of those people who claim that Musa, the tree, whatever that tree it is, the bush tree, has spoken to him alike. That's falsehood. فَزَعْمُهُمْ هَذَا زَعْمٌ بَطِلٌ. Their claim is nothing but clear falsehood. Falsehood can be clear sometimes. وَالَّذِي يَدْمَغُهُمْ أَنْ يُقَالَ. And that which really establishes the proof against them, clearly 100%, is to be said, or to say, هَلْ يَصِحُّ أَنْ تَقُولَ الشَّجَرَ لِمُوسَى إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ. Is it really sound? Is it really correct that the tree say to Musa, I am your Lord? Is it true? Is it true? Is it correct? Does it sound actually for a tree to say to Musa, I am your Lord? Al-Kalam. قال فتبين من هذا أن الكلام صفة لله عز وجل مع العلم أن من لا يستطيع على الكلام. And the Shaykh is going to bring something. He says, so therefore from this it is clear, it's been made clear that speech, kalam, is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to forget that the one has no ability to speak, وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُ عَلَى التَّصَرُّفِ, has no ability to govern anything, not even itself, وَلَا يَسْلُحُ أَنْ يَكُونَ إِلَاهًا, and he has no faculties and no qualification and qualities to be an ilah. قال فالإله الحق هو الذي يتكلم. The true God is the one who speaks. ويرزق, provides. ويهدي ويضل. He's the one who causes people to be guided, and others, he causes others to go astray. ويعز ويذل. The true God is the one who causes others to be mighty and to live on honor, and while others be humiliated. هو الذي يغني ويفقر. The true God is the one who causes certain people to be rich while others are poor. ويصح ويمرض. And it is He who makes certain people healthy while other people are sick and ill. ويحيي ويميت. The true God is the one who causes life and death. قال ومن لا يكون قادرا على هذه الأمور فإنه لا يصلح أن يكون إلها. As for anything or anyone that has no ability whatsoever to do the like of these things mentioned, there is no way that he could be a God. There's no way. There's no way can he be a God. But Jesus, for example, who they say he's a God, he couldn't bring life to himself. When they claim that they kill him, so subhanAllah. And okay, we let him go with that. They kill him. So who brought him to life? Who brought him to life?
Subhanallah. He says, so therefore, anything or anyone who does not possess these qualifications, he is not worthy to be a God. فَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ مَخْلُوقٌ. And the Shaykh, he concluded with this, فَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ مَخْلُوقٌ كَالْمُعْتَزِلَةِ وَالزَّيْدِيَّةِ أَوْ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَشْعَرِيَّةِ فَإِنَّ زَعْمَهُ هَذَا بَاطِلٌ. So therefore, in a nutshell, in that this says here, the end of this explanation of this point 15, he says, so he who claims that the speech of Allah is created, the life of the Mu'tazila and the Zaydiya, a branch of the Shia, and the Ash'ariya with forced interpretation, he said his claim is nothing but falsehood and void batil, nothing but falsehood. And the Shaykh said, وَلِلَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ, and success lay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the end of that point 15. And I just want to remind myself and all the brothers, since we're talking about the Qur'an, is to take good care of the Qur'an. This is the Qur'an. In it is guidance, light, shifa, the fuel. Everything in it, ya akhwan. It softens the hearts. It makes the soul serene and tranquil. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, by the remembrance of Allah, the hearts feel at ease. We should invest much time with the Book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should invest much time reading the Book of Allah, studying the Book of Allah, trying to understand the meanings of the verses in the ayat that we read and we recite. That's what's going to help us in our life, especially in the salah. How many people they ask about khushu'? If we don't know what is recited, if we don't know the meaning, when it was revealed, upon whom it was revealed, if there is any stories related to that, that's what's going to really get you the khushu' in the salah. Knowing the meanings of what is recited to you, what you hear. If an ayah of Jannah is recited, you connect it to the Jannah. You really know, you say, Subhan, that's the Jannah. Because you know its description in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And you ask Allah to give you the Jannah. Maybe the Imam is reciting verses of the Jannah, and some of us, they may still, I don't know what they're thinking about. Likewise, when the verse of Jahannam, of the fire, is recited, then you really focus. At that moment, you make sincere dua in your sujood for Allah to save you from the punishment of the fire, because you already heard it. You just heard the statement of Allah. And this will happen only if we understand what is recited. And until then, we have to put some efforts into learning this book. Learn the Qur'an. Try to not just memorize, but to pronounce the verses and the ayats correctly. Because the speech of Allah is one. There's only one Qur'an. So, you don't want to, like, just because you don't want to learn, some people don't want to learn Arabic. And on the other hand, there's no people to teach them Arabic. So those who know some Arabic, they have to make themselves available to teach their brothers and sisters. This is amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be asked about it in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Whoever learns anything, he has to try to find someone to teach it to. How do you think this knowledge will reach us? How? Did Allah send another messenger to us here in America to teach us this deed? Well, the same messenger who was sent, he died so many centuries ago. How did deen reach us? Well, through the Prophet himself, when he received the revelation, he worked hard teaching the companions, reaching out to them, giving up this dunya, the luxury of it, teaching the companions. And then themselves, they follow his example.
They disseminate the knowledge to their students. Who they disseminate to their students? To their students, they are rich as today in a golden chain. So what is our purpose? We carry it right here? Well, alhamdulillah, there is scars of us. Alhamdulillah, they're doing what they're doing. May Allah reward them for that. But as we live here in this country, and in our communities, we need to help one another. Those who they memorize Arabic, and they know, teach it to your brother. You don't have to be imam of a masjid to teach somebody Akhwan. You don't want to wait until they give you the mic to sit behind the mic to teach someone how to say Alif Ba Ta. Are we doing it for Allah or are we doing it for the crowd? If you know Alif Ba Ta, pull your brother. So you know Alif Ba Ta. If he said, no, I just took shahada. So you got a minute after Asr? No, I got 5 minutes. Well, you know what I mean. Then he pull him by the side, go somewhere over there, pull out your pen, and say, listen, this is Alif, yeah. This is Alif. Why I'm teaching you Alif? Because you got to see it in the Quran. Bring the Quran. You see how many Alifs over here? You should know it. This is Ba. Because that's how Bismillah started, with the Ba. This is the Ta, because it ends, As-Salat ends with it. At-Tawheed starts with it. This is the Seen, because the Sunnah began with the Seen. This is Qaf, because Qur'an began with Qaf. This is Meen, because you're a Muslim. It starts with Meen. Allahu Akbar. And teach your brothers. Can't wait until, oh, when I be the Imam, when I be behind, with a name be on the flyer. Some of people's names, they just on the flyer because, mashallah, they can avoid that. Things happen. But we have to be sincere, Akhwan. We have to be sincere and teach one another. But make sure before you teach, you should know. You should learn from the people who they know the right things. And this is how we're going to grow, barakallahu fikum. To humble ourselves for one another. The one who don't know, he should humble himself for the one who knows. Arrogance ain't gonna help us. Being proud and this. No, don't look at the person. Listen to what comes from him. If I know that this brother right here, in front of me, he knows some Quran I don't, I sit with him. Regardless. I'm not gonna say, well, he's not an imam. Well, he's nobody. Yeah, he is. He may be nobody to me, but with Allah, he's somebody. Because, alhamdulillah, he carries some of the Allah's speech that I don't. So I have to humble myself and sit with him and try to learn. This is sincere advice from your brother. And it is for me first. As one person cannot do everything. Two, three people cannot do everything. But if every one of us try, alhamdulillah, everyone try to do his best, mashallah, as the fingers of the hand, they come together and they make a fist. Can't make it with one finger. Can come together upon the haqq, especially we're upon truth, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to keep us firm upon it. And we have the ulama amongst us, one phone call, alhamdulillah, they are just as they are amongst us here. We connect ourselves to them on a phone. We call them whenever we want. Those who they speak Arabic, you can call them, we give you their numbers. Just learn Arabic. So you don't need somebody to translate for you. We give you the numbers, learn how to speak properly, we give you the numbers. The numbers are available. No, we don't want to get to that. Okay? And we help one another, ya akhwan. We have the books of the ulama amongst us. But don't lean on the English translation. Oh, here is a book. But that which is translated is a drop in an ocean. What do you think, man? Alhamdulillah, there is so many books are translated. But hey, you're missing. Those brothers who don't know Arabic and sisters, you're missing much. Don't be deceived of all the many books are translated. That's nothing but a drop in the so much knowledge. Okay, now all these books, when you go for Umrah and Hajj, and you're invited to Sheikh Ubaid's house, or Sheikh Rabi'a's house, or Sheikh Fulan's house, and then, salam, and then the Sheikh Ubaid starts speaking. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan,
know that book is going to speak, is going to translate for you. No. But if you learn Arabic, there are people that did it, Yahwan. It's not something you look at Arabic that is like a big mountain ahead of you. Even mountains come down. Man. You been to Saudi Arabia? Those tunnels you went through, they were mountains. Many of those, actually the expansion of the Haram itself, and many hotels, and the fancy hotels, you see, they used to be mountains. Huh? What is it? Now I'm talking about in Saudi, talking about 280. What about 280? Yeah, 280, yeah, 280 used to be a mountain. Barakallah fi. Barakallah. You bring me back here. I was there. Yeah, people can relate to something they know. Jazakallah khair. Yeah, people, that's true. Jazakallah khair, Muhammad. People can relate to something they know, because those who have never been to Saudi, they think it's only camels and birds. No, it's not that, brothers. It's very fancy over there. You think like a brother went with us for Umrah, and he thought, he just become Muslim, alhamdulillah, and Allah, that's the virtue of Allah with us for Umrah. He, as soon as we get there, he's so anxious to see the Kaaba here. When he saw the Kaaba, he's like, oh, marble? Man, this is nice. I didn't know it was like this. So once we visit Tawaf, he said, oh, come on, let's go out. I said, go out where? He says, aren't we going to go to Safa and Marwa? I said, yeah, we're going to it. Don't worry about it. I said, this is Safa and Marwa. He said, that's Safa and Marwa? He said, I thought, man, I'm going to go on goats and we're going to go like run away from dogs and cats and animals and like the real Safa and Marwa, go in a valley like you read it in the Quran. He said, this is easy. I said, alhamdulillah, that's the ni'mah of Allah. He said, man, I was ready to climb some mountains to get dirty. I said, no, it's not the case, man. Just make dua for the King Fahd, rahimahullah ta'ala, for the people that helped him with that endeavor and on that task. So you have to, Yaquan, don't look at the Arabic like these people behind, before us. They're not Arabs. They become prominent scholars in Arabic. Albani, Sheikh Al-Albani, you think he was Arab? No, he had to learn Arabic. Sheikh Al-Albani, one of the greatest scholars of this time. He learned Arabic. Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Salman al-Farisi, Suhaib al-Rumi. They are people, they have to learn Arabic, ikhwan. But if you put our mind into it, inshallah, it's going to become easy for us. Endure the hardship. Wallahi, ya ikhwan, and you get the reward. Because now you're learning something for Allah, you get rewarded. It's not like learning something for the dunya. Learning something for Allah, you be rewarded. So put your hands together, ya ikhwan, and start learning this deen, learning. We have materials, it's not like we're broke. We have a lot of material. But we just have to revive it. We don't just read and hear a khutbah, hear a class, hear a tape, and expire it. No, go back to it. This is how you're going to learn. Why do people, they learn so much, those who go to the ulama? They hear the information repeated so many times. If it's not a day, a week, or a month, the same hadith, they hear it more than 100 times. They go to this class, the Shaykh mentioned. They go to the other class, they study between them. They read in this book, they read the other book, listen to this tape, go to school. That's all they hear, subhanAllah. You know why people, they memorize and they learn a great deal in the marriage, for example? Because that's all they hear. That's their life. They hear nothing but قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ الرَّسُولُ قَالَ أَحْمَدُ بْنِ حَنْبَلٍ قَالَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسٍ قَالَتْ عَائِشَةُ قَالَ ابْنُ الْمُبَارَكِ قَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. That's all they hear. But if we're gonna hear قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ الرَّسُولُ only on يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ, it ain't gonna happen like that. It ain't gonna happen. So inshaAllah ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with this. Barakallahu feekum. I have been told that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum, when they recited the Quran in the night salat, if they came across a verse mentioning the Jannah,
they would make dua for it. If Allah mentions the Jahannam, they would seek refuge from this. Was this done during its recitation itself? If so, can we do this in the obligatory salat as well? What I know is that we mentioned a narration last khutbah from Nafi, from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, one of the great and prominent Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was he used to in the tahajjud, in the sunnah, and when he recite a verse that talks about the Jannah, he will pause and ask Allah for Jannah, and ask Allah, and ask Allah, and make dua. Likewise, when he recites a verse that talks about the Jahannam, so therefore he will recite, he will pause and seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Jahannam, and then he will seek refuge with Allah and ask forgiveness and the like, and weep and cry, and this is the sunnah. And as for doing it obligatory, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, statement of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, said that this is only for the sunnah, when a person is praying by himself, like in tahajjud and the like. As for when he's leading people in the salah, he has to confine himself to the recitation of the Quran. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanaka wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Qalam indak rasas. Qalam rasas. The other one. Pencil. Doesn't work? What do you mean, though? Do you have to fill it? I exactly know. No. So, what time is the Adana? 9:04? Then late, huh? Alright. We do not swear by the Quran. We swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he said, Allah himself alone has the right to swear by his creation. That's why Allah said, Sama'i wa tariq. Allah swearing by the sama, by al-tariq, wal-shamsi wa duhaha, wal-layli idha yaghsha, noon, wal-qalami wa ma yasqaru, wal-fajr, wal-asr, what else? All those ayats that start the source with wal-dhariyat, wal-nazi'at. Huh? Tayyib. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by whatever he wants from his creation. And Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan, he said, and there is a hikmah in this, that you should know where Allah swears by something that shows the importance of that thing. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wal asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swears by asr to show you the importance of asr. And layl, wal layl, wal teen, wal zaytun, ni'mah. Okay, wal teen. As for swearing by other than the name of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, he has said in authentic narration, he who swears by other than the name of Allah has committed shirk. So you don't say when Nabi, as some people they say when Nabi, by the Prophet. Some they say when ni'mah, by the bounty, by the food, by the milk. Some they say when Ka'bah. So as one of the mashayikh, I forget his name, because there is some people who they are really into this. Wal Ka'bah, by the Ka'bah. Now he said to them, it will be easy for you, because he become a habit. He said to them, say, Wa Rabbi al-Ka'bah, by the Lord of the Ka'bah. Until you get used to it, and then so say by Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, he who is swearing, he who really has to swear, he swears by Allah. He swears by Allah. Don't swear by anything else. And swearing by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a minor shirk, by the way. Is a minor shirk, it's not a major shirk. No.
Yeah.
No. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله So that's a similar homework. It's not created. No. Not created. Yes, that's what we said, right? No, it's not created. Speech of Allah is not created. It's an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kalam? Yes. No. No. I said Allahu A'lam. And we swear by the Quran, I said Allahu A'lam. And I just gave a benefit. I just gave a benefit from the statement of Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan. That when Allah swears by some of His creation, like a layl, and the like of this, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we mentioned the reason, or the hikmah that Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan has mentioned. You can go back to, we did a khutbah on that, on Surah Al-Asr, Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan. And in the beginning he mentioned very, very beneficial points as related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swear by what Asr, that shows the importance of that Asr itself on the time. نعم تفضل إذا
طاش أحدنا في الصلاة
طاش يعني نسي
في الصلاة هل يجوز أن نقول في الصلاة الحمد لله أو لا
إذا عطس The brother is saying, if someone sneezes while he's in the salah, is it permissible to say Alhamdulillah while in salah? The person himself, he say it to himself. But the people, they don't say to him, Yarhamukallah. Because this has a story to it. The hadith of Muawiyah, No, not Abdullah ibn Saud. Muawiyah ibn Abi al-Hakam al-Sulami. The Muawiyah ibn Abi al-Hakam al-Sulami, who was new to Islam, a companion. He is the famous companion who is famous by the Jariyah. He is the one who slapped the the slave girl and her face when she was washing his animals, the sheep, and the wolf come and take one of them. So here is the man who, so, and then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, because he said to the Prophet ﷺ, I really feel sorry for what I've done. Shall I free her? The Prophet ﷺ said, bring her to me. And the Prophet ﷺ said to her, Ain Allah, where is Allah? This is a question that Lara groups, they don't want to ask, mainly Jama'at al-Tahrir. Jama'at al-Tabligh, if he said to them, where is Allah? They're like, A'udhu billah. Why you ask this question about Allah, where is Allah? He said, but are you going to say A'udhu billah to the Prophet ﷺ who asked the girl? They're not around, hear the hadith. So that's just ignorance to the people. They reject certain things with no knowledge. And that happened to me in Mina. That happened to me personally in Mina, in Hajj. As I saw this woman from Brighton, Caucasian woman, angry and cussing. I said, what happened? She said, this so-called imam that came with us, he's a disgrace to Islam and this and this. I said, what happened? She said, he's kind of like talking bad to his son, my little son, instead to be patient with him and teach him. And then here is the man, he heard her came out of the tent, yelling, and I'm like, man, that's the man. So, I'm trying to mediate, because they were like our neighbors, and we used to hear all the stuff we used to go to. So then, I'm talking to her, I told her, why don't you just go? So she, alhamdulillah, she listened, she went to the tent. Yeah, he's still talking. So me and him, I know, I said, how am I going to give da'wah to this man? I should know what aqidah he's upon first. Because you can't just give advice to certain people. So as we were talking, and he mentioned the question, Ain Allah, because now he feels comfortable with me. And then I share with him my orange. They become very handy, oranges in Mina. Believe me, brothers. And then, as he eating, I said to him, where is Allah? Man, he stopped eating, said, A'udhu billah. Now he got on me. I said, MashaAllah. I said, okay. I came for Hajj, I came to argue. So anyway, in that narration, now if I ask you, this narration here, where is to be found? This hadith. Is in Muslim. Where? What book? Is in the book of Salat. Is in the book of prayer. Now you will like, because that's what happened to me in the first, when I started looking for this hadith, I'm like, what this has to do with the prayer? The Prophet, this man slapped this girl. The Prophet ﷺ asked her, where is Allah? And then, who am I? This, it falls in the category of Tawheed. Because he said, what is right? But the hadith is in Muslim in Kitab al-Salah. Why? Why? And I said, Allah, nice try. Why Muslim brought this hadith in the book of al-Salah? Some event that took place in the Salah. Because this is only one of the parts of the hadith. That's because this man, Mu'ayyah ibn Abi al-Hakam al-Sulami, actually, he didn't came to ask the Prophet ﷺ that question. He came to pray. Right? And why he's been a beginner, you know, a man sees. And he said to him, Yarhamukallah. And the Sahaba look at him like that you don't supposed to say anything in the Salah. So while the Sahaba, they were looking at him in the way to tell him by the look that he was supposed to look like. No, supposed to talk in the Salah. So he said, he spoke now in the Salah and say, what's wrong with you looking at me, something like that. So the Sahaba, they start being there, tried to make the man be quiet.
So after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called him and talked to him nicely. That's now, this is the story. And since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked to him so nicely, now he feels so comfortable with the Prophet, and he said, let me ask him my question. And then he asked him about the girl. That's the narration. That's why it's in Sahih Muslim, in Kitab al-Salat. If you don't know this part, you will never think it's in a book of Salat. You'll be looking in Kitab al-Tawheed, you'll be looking in a book of whatever it is. Tayyib? Muawiyah ibn Abi al-Hakam al-Sulami, rahimahullah ta'ala. Subhanakallah wa hamdik, shalom. La ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu.
This audio file has been recorded and distributed by SalafiTapes.com. For more information, please contact us at info@SalafiTapes.com or visit us on our website www.SalafiTapes.com.